The Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM Stereo.
In conversation with Shafiq Morton.
Yes, indeed, we are in conversation with myself, Shafiq Morton, online, Africa Report for this week. Dr. Paul Kariuki, Executive Director, Democracy Development Program. On our menu for today, the DRC Congo declares an end of the Ebola outbreak. Didier Drogba, no, not about football, but he's talking about Africa. And a court tries to stop a case against French soldiers doing bad things in Rwanda. Dr. Paul Kariuki, welcome.
Thank you so much, Shafiq, for having me on the show, and good afternoon to all your listeners.
Now, it's nice to start off with a story that's kind of got some good news about it. Democratic Republic of Congo declares an end of the Ebola outbreak. I say that against the background of everybody saying that Africa was going to fall apart because of COVID. We haven't. It has affected us, yes, but we're still here and probably doing a lot better than other countries. And here, an African country can declare the end of an Ebola outbreak, which is a lot more than countries like India can declare about their current problems.
Indeed, Shafiq, it's good news on one hand that they can boldly declare that Ebola is no more an issue for their concern. However, on the other hand, it's also something that is of concern. Just in case the country can go into a relaxed mode, and then we have a resurgence. So one of the challenges with such good news at a time of public health emergencies like the one we've been dealing with, like Ebola and COVID, is that whenever there is a little indication of triumph because of the long-drawn kind of fight in it to contain it and to, you know, minimize transmission and save lives, there's always a reluctance on the public in general for people to let down their guards. And before you know, something else hits it. Hits the nation. So, on one hand, I joined them in their celebration, but on the other hand, I'm a bit scared that there can never be a total elimination of a possibility that a resurgence is possible. So, so it's just one of those cautionary views that one has.
And of course, I mean, Ebola is no joke. I'm not a medical expert, but I believe that Ebola is far more dangerous than COVID.
I agree with you. I'm also not a medical doctor, but I can tell you, given the devastation that it has done in that country and others around the West African region over the last 5 to 6 years, it's astronomical, and therefore there cannot be a reluctance not to stay vigilant and continue surveilling, for any possible resurgences. At the same time, also, I think the country now has a good break to invest in their health, public health infrastructure, just to make sure that they remain strong and resilient in case there is a resurgence, and at least use the lessons they have learned over the years to make sure that their public health system is in a possible capacity, has a possible capacity to mitigate any situation that can arise in case there is a further outbreak. And I think one of the key lessons that we have learned around the continent, especially, our continent has been found wanting when this kind of public health emergencies do erupt. Our public health systems are not able to cope with, big numbers of ill individuals, and of course, our challenges are not just the health facilities themselves, but it's also the human resource and the financing that makes it possible for a public health system to cope with numbers of people who are ill in case an outbreak takes place. So I think one would caution that people must not lay down their guards at this time, but at the same time also for government to do something speedily within the short-term period to really reinforce their public health systems and especially providing the necessary human resources needed. And of course, in all this, juxtaposing it with COVID-19 management.
Do you think there are lessons that we could perhaps teach the rest of the world? Because I think we did learn some hard, hard lessons when the Ebola outbreak started. But perhaps how to deal with these things with minimum budgets? Because in South Africa, we're not blessed, or in Africa, we're not blessed with the same kind of budgetary capacities as some of the more developed nations are.
Yes, and that's true. You're very much on point. So I think one of the key, one of the few lessons that we can, scan from the Congo DR situation with management of Ebola, firstly, just to underscore again, the need to continue vigilance to make sure that in case of any further outbreaks, there is capacity to handle the situation. The other part, of course, is to strengthen surveillance systems for the disease. So that, okay, there is a possibility to monitor any early outbreaks and even trends that could point to an outbreak. Because some of the situations we found ourselves in as a continent, we've been found off guard, so to speak, when such public health emergencies of the scale of Ebola, COVID-19, have erupted. And if still we're dealing with issues of oil like malaria, which are also a big public health situations in our continent. So I think the strengthening surveillance systems for such diseases is very important. And thirdly, which is often underreported or even conversed about, is working with communities to detect cases within households or neighborhoods that may be very far away from health authorities' data capturing systems. So I think that could have worked very well. And I've seen some of the countries like Kenya and others around the East African region using household surveillance system for COVID-19. And the little I've gathered from such people who are working in those countries is that it has actually worked effectively in managing COVID-19 in their countries. And I think Ebola could also be managed better in the same way as a lesson. If we strengthen our communities to be able to know what to see and how to report it, I think that we can go far in rapid response to public health emergencies whenever they are detected. And fourthly, is of course the political will to invest in strengthening public health facilities. We've seen some of the shocking, scenarios or footages from various media houses across our continent when Ebola struck, and it's still now with COVID-19. Very heartbreaking scenarios to see human beings being wheeled on a wheelbarrow or carried on sticks, because there is no sufficient ambulance support system to, even to get people to the nearest public health system. So I think those are low-hanging fruits that can be, arrested and be detected quickly and reinforced so that our health systems on the continent remain resilient to fight public health emergencies.
Yeah, indeed, it's interesting you mentioned the old person in a wheelbarrow. That's something I have personally experienced while on assignment in a North African country. It's heartbreaking actually to see it, and it's heartbreaking to see the image, but when you see it in real life, boy oh boy, the reality really strikes home that there are no ambulances here, and a poor human being in a wheelbarrow is the ultimate indignity.
Sure. And also just to add to that, we must also not forget that the region, West African region itself, and the East and Southern Africa itself, still there are possibilities of further outbreaks. If you think about in Guinea, they're still battling with their own resurgence on Ebola, and with minimum restriction of people movement across countries and across borders, you can never fully eliminate the possibility of an outbreak. So I think that's something else that the government of Congo will be looking very closely. And of course, I'm sure that the WHO offices in Africa would also be monitoring that very quickly to ensure that okay, while we celebrate the end of Ebola in the country, it does not also create opportunities for other countries to, you know, bring back in cases because of poor migration management policies that we have currently on our continent.
No, absolutely. And we move on to Didier Drogba. I'm sure lots of listeners remember the dreadlocked Didier Drogba scoring lots of goals for Chelsea. He has now got a bald head and is very much a public figure and a politician, but having a very interesting interview about saying we can have a stable Africa. How encouraging do you think it is when somebody so identifiable such as Didier Drogba makes a statement like this? Because a lot of people not necessarily interested in Africa are going to read it because of his past as a football star.
And you're spot on. I would take this very caution, with a caution, because he may have been inspired by the former footballer of African continent who really became finally the president of Liberia. And so he may be probably taking a leaf from there to say, you know what, I can also ascend to, you know, to highest seat politically in my country, but maybe I need to start somewhere, to start talking the language of those who are in politics. We're in a very interesting phase of our continent at the moment. And so I will not want to take away from his, you know, very much idealized view of what Africa could do. But it's not the first time we've had things like this, not from footballers like him, but from other well-wishers who want to pursue politics as a career. And so, be as it may, I would like to err on the side that his intentions are pure and that he's probably not seeking political office by trying to come in into the space with a language that maybe people may start, you know, identifying with. And of course, he hits at the soft spot. Africa needs to be stable. There's no doubt about that, and it's very spot on. However, we will need to know much more than just a statement like that or an ideal like that, because this has always been a continental struggle. From either AU, African Union, or from other African think tanks that have already been saying similar things, that for Africa to be prosperous and to become a competitor who has a voice on the global stage, whether it's trade or health or politics, it has to be stable, be able to feed itself, be able to create economic opportunities that prosper her citizens, be able to have a political vertebrae, you know, spinal cord to call out corrupt individuals. You know, all those things. So I don't know how far Mr. Drogba has engaged himself with the current challenges that make this continent to be where it is right now, for his statements to have credibility in the sense that he can actually draw interest from Africans themselves. Otherwise, from just a rhetorical point of view, he's saying the right things.
Right. Let's move on to Rwanda. A court tries to stop a case against French soldiers in Rwanda. And what I find interesting about this is reminding myself about Rwanda and going to Dr. Google. France was one of the countries that did not emerge with any credibility out of the Rwandan crisis. And here we have the French courts trying to protect some French soldiers. We don't know what they did, but it just doesn't go down well, does it?
Indeed, Shafiq, it doesn't go down well for three main reasons from my point of view. One, it has potential to strain Africa-French relations, because there is a cry in the hearts of many Rwandese people who probably are still in the country and some are out of the country, who lost their family members.
Mm-hmm.
And they are seeking for justice. It cannot be embraced as something to celebrate when families such as those ones have not found closure concerning their family members. That's the number one thing. The other thing is travesty for justice. It is important that French government really shows that it can walk the talk. and provide an opportunity for example, for those five military generals that who never had a chance to go to court and give their side of their story, to be given a chance to do so. Otherwise, it looks like the French government could and perhaps potential to condone a similar occurrence in future, which can never be ruled out, right?
Yes.
So it is, in my view, is a travesty of justice to say they're dropping such a case that has serious political implications, not only on the country and her people, but on the continent. And of course, thirdly, is for countries like the former colonialist powers, who still want to show that they have this hegemonic rule over their former colonies, and that they can call shots in such a way that it dehumanizes on these people on a global scale. So from that point of view, I totally feel it is not the right thing to do. And I think I would want to believe that there will be someone somewhere within geopolitics of our continent and France to call this thing out in a way that it will capture global imagination, so that institutions that United Nations, such as United Nations and African Union, can really exert political pressure to see that justice is meted out.
I mean, this is important, isn't it? I mean, you know, we are talking about a very, very heavy topic.
Yes.
If you look at the situation in old Yugoslavia, where the Dutch military was indicted for standing by while Serbs slaughtered Bosnians.
Yes.
I mean, there's no difference to that than to what happened in Rwanda. If you read the reports about the French, they are damning indictments that they stood by while the atrocities went on. And there's a possibility if they intervened, they might have saved some lives, but they didn't.
They didn't, and exactly that's my point. For French government to accept an outcome like that, although it has not come in public to say so, but if they do, it'll be like slapping Africa on its face.
Mm-hmm.
So that we really don't care. And it will not, I'm sure it will not sit well with Africans if even so our political leadership around the continent may want to cajole them to believe that they are doing the right thing because of any interest that they may have on the continent. But there's no one who can sit with a clear conscience if such a court case can be endorsed as a victory. It'll be really, really a sad day on our continent.
Dr. Paul Kariuki, Executive Director, Democracy Development Program. Thanks for chatting to us, our weekly Africa report. As always, great pleasure chatting to you.
Thank you, Shafiq, for having me on the show. See you again next week.
In conversation with Shafiq Morden.